Like to invite you this morning over to the book of Genesis chapter 15 and verse 5. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5 reads this way. It says, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And Lord, being reminded that where two or three are gathered together there in your name, there are you in the midst. So again, Lord, we thank you for your presence. We ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide us into your truths. Lord, that you might speak to us and that we might hear from you, that you might be honored and glorified and our lives empowered. And then, Lord, if there's one or maybe more than one that may not have the assurance of eternal life, may you open up their hearts and minds to understand the truth and for them to see their need of trusting you as their Savior. And we'll thank you for that. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply, So Shall Thy Seed Be. So shall thy seed be. And what we find here is a personal promise from the Lord to Abram specifically. But if you're here and you've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, he has also given to you a personal promise that comes from him of eternal life. And that is really the beginning in our relationship with the Lord. And then he's promised to bring us into all of his promises. He says, listen, it begins at salvation. That's the wonderful beginning. It's the greatest gift. It's the greatest gift you can ever receive. Amen. On this side, it's better than anything else on planet Earth. It begins your understanding of your purpose of life, and that is to walk with the Lord and fathom this thought. It was God's plan that your life would honor and glorify him. And you would say, my life, and God would say, yes, your life. But of course, it'll be in his grace and in his power that he wishes to do so. And so we're going to learn here as we grow in the Lord Jesus Christ, or as we come to know him for the very first time as our personal Savior, that it is a daily walk that God wants us to experience in our lives with him. And so this morning, I want you to know that you are not being, and you're not going to be reprimanded, amen? You're not going to be, you know, some people say, oh, listen, man, oh man, did you step on my toes today? Well, that's not my job. I'm not wanting to step on your toes. I'm hoping you'll hear from the Lord. You'll get a lot more that way than if I step on your toes. If I step on your toes, all you're going to get are dirty shoes, amen? But if you'll hear from the Lord, God will do things that I could never do, and I would never even listen, I would never even dare try to do, because that's not my place. My place is simply to preach the Word of God by His grace, that we might have a greater understanding of who He is and wants to be in our lives, and how we can walk with Him. And so we're going to consider some important truths this morning, and really God's truths require questions and explanations. And the reason for that is because God's ways are past our finding out. Do you believe that? You cannot, the Bible says the natural man cannot receive the things that are of the Lord because they're spiritually discerned. You cannot academically or naturally approach the Word of God and expect to hear from the Lord or expect to understand what he's trying to say. You might get a history lesson, and that's all well and good. You might understand some things about creation, and that's all well and good. But to hear from God and to understand him must be a spiritual matter that he brings us into. So God's ways are past our finding out. Listen, even after salvation, God's ways are past our finding out. And so when God says something to us, we must understand this, that, hey, you know what? I may not be understanding this exactly the way God is trying to speak to me. Do you believe that? Do you think the disciples ever had any problems with those things? Do you think we're looking at Abram today? Do you think Abram and Sarai ever missed the Lord and their understanding of what he was trying to do in their lives? Absolutely. The good news is, God knew that also. Amen? And God is wanting to bring us into the understanding of these truths. So God's ways, we know God's ways are past our finding out. Let me ask you this. Do you think the Lord knows that his ways are past our finding out? And both of those answers are yes, right? The Lord even knows that his ways are beyond our understanding. So as we consider both of these questions and the answer to both of them is yes, then it stands to reason that God, when he makes his promises, he realizes that we need to express or use faith. That means we're going to trust the Lord, amen, in these things. That's what faith is all about. It's interchangeable with the word trust. And so, Lord, I'm going to trust you to bring me into these understandings. And so you can rest assured it is God's will for us to understand him. So if you have a problem, realize this. Listen, if there's a question, bring it before the Lord and ask him to explain it. He's wanting to do that. When we do that, so listen, God knows that his ways are past our finding out, and if we never ask him a question, do you think he sees any concern or any interest from us into his things? No, he doesn't see any of that. If we never ask him, he knows that this is going to go over the top of their heads. Amen? I remember this. I remember starting a new job, and they just explained everything to me all at once. You ever been in that kind of a situation? But here's the good news. Here's what they said. Now, I know you're not going to remember. You're going to remember probably less than half of what I'm telling you, but I'm introducing these things to you because these are going to be things that you're going to be using and doing, and that will come to you. And I'm so thankful for teachers like that. Amen? I mean, they just say, and they do, and they talk right over the top of my head, brand new concepts I've never understood before, goes right over the top of my head, and I get one thing. Hopefully, that's their name. Amen? I learned their name that day because then I can say, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I need some help. Amen? And that's the good thing that we need to know is the name of God at the very beginning. And by the way, the truth and the promise that God has made, that he says, if you'll call on me, amen, I'll answer and show you great and mighty things. And so we thank the Lord for that. So let's consider Abram here. And Abram speaks of, in fact, look at our text again here in verse 5. It says, and he brought him, this is speaking of God, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven. Is the Lord revealing a concept to Abram? He is. He's showing him something, and there's this question that he has, and we'll look at that here in just a moment. But he says, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. In other words, you're going to have an innumerable amount of offspring, and he was thankful for that. And look here, ready? And he believed, or you could change that with trust, and he trusted the Lord. And he believed, he expressed faith in the Lord, he trusted him, and he, God, counted it to him, Abram, for what? For righteousness. Do you see how to get the righteousness of God? Believe the Lord in what he has promised you. Amen? If you want to have personal faith in the Lord, you must personally trust him. You must personally believe what he has said. I dare say, listen, there's a lot of people that have this concept. Oh, yes, listen, God can save me, but boy, oh boy, he will never change my life. Is that faith? Oh, yeah. Hey, who are we putting trust in if we say that to the Lord? Oh, you don't understand. We're telling that to God. We're telling God he doesn't understand. No. The truth is, we little ones here don't understand God. And we're missing out on what he's wanting to do. Hold your place here. I want you to see something here in the New Testament, book of Romans. And you can just listen if you'd like to, but hold your place in Genesis. We're coming right back there. And I want you to see what Romans chapter 4, verse 1 has to say about Abraham. He says, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? Do you know that if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been born again. You've not just made some decision. God gave you the second birth. You are the offspring, you are the seed of Abraham. And he says, by the way, he calls him our father. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham, this is the scripture we just read. What saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. This is telling us, it's just, listen, faith in Abraham's day is the same way faith works today. So now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned in verse 4 of grace, but of debt. If, listen, you've got a debt that I've got news for you, we will never be able to pay. And so it says, verse 5, but to him that worketh not, I like that, you don't have to work for it. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith, his trust, his hope is counted for what? Righteousness. So if you want to know about how to walk in the righteousness of God, back to our text in the book of Genesis, all you have to do is trust the Lord in what he has said. Now, will you understand it the first time you hear it? Will you understand it the second time? Will you ever understand it? Yes, if you ask God to explain it. But if you never ask him, you'll never understand it. And so as we consider this, let's consider Abraham and Sarah. And the book of Hebrews, we're not going to go over there. Chapter 11 speaks about Abraham and Sarah's great faith. Does it not? Talks about their great faith. We can interpret that as great trust in the Lord. Their faith had everything to do with their trust. So I want to consider a couple of things now. And that is the Lord's proclamation, Abram's perplexity, and that's okay. Has God ever perplexed you? Troubled you? In other words, didn't make sense to you? The Lord's plainness. Don't you like it? Oh, when the light bulb comes on. And then the importance of engaging God for ourselves. Somebody else do that. No, that will never happen. Nobody can get saved for you but you. Nobody can grow in God's grace or experience faith in Christ but you. Nobody can do that for you. The preacher can't. No one's going to pour it into your head. You're going to have to seek God in that. And God's promise is if you seek God in that, guess what? You're going to find it. Isn't that amazing? We know the answers. That's a good thing. Now all we have to do is do it, right? We can, listen, you know that if you work hard, well, some people today know, if you work hard, you'll reap rewards, right? If you don't work hard and if you don't try to do anything, nothing's going to happen. There are some people that think that if they don't do anything, all kinds of good things are coming their way. Somebody lied to them. Amen? Nothing's going to come, listen, unless we put forth an effort of pursuit to look into those things and to seek those things out. Nobody pours in the ability to do anything into your head and you become proficient in it. It's something that you must work and strive at. Even people that are born or we're called gifted, right, in certain things, they still have to practice. They still have to do these things and move forward in these things. Some people are gifted athletes. I dare say they had some lessons. Wouldn't you? Some people are gifted musicians. I dare say that somebody showed them what that instrument was and pointed things out. They may have taken right off with it, whatever the case might be. Now, granted, I will tell you there are some exceptions, some unusual exceptions that were where you see little kids at 3 or 4 years old making their way over to a piano and start plucking out things, and maybe so, but that's not the norm. That's an exception. But I want you to know when it comes to the things of God, God is consistent in every one of them. He says, if we seek him, we'll find him. Now, let me read a scripture to you here. 2 Timothy 3:16 says this. Ready? All scripture, not most, not some, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed and is profitable. It's a profitable thing for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. And here's what I want you to see. Ready? For instruction in righteousness. To instruct us. Remember, Abraham believed and God counted it or put it to his account for what? Righteousness, right? So it's you and I understanding to say, Lord, now listen, you may not always, feeling and faith are two different things. The devil can keep you in your chair or on your couch and in despair, in disappointment, and being confounded, and you can sit there and listen to the devil and listen to the flesh and listen to the world all day long. And I'm afraid to say a lot of people do. But if we'll believe what God has said, you have to move in spite of what you're hearing from the world and what you're hearing from the flesh and what the devil's telling you. You'll have to make a choice. You'll have to say, I choose to reject what the world is saying and to believe, put my faith, put my trust in what God has said. And so that is an act of faith. And God says, I'm going to bless that. Listen, I'm looking at that person. They you know what? Listen, their body says, I don't feel like praying today. The world says that prayer is going to get you nothing. But then they go to the Word of God and they say, oh, wait a minute. God says, if I call on Him, that's prayer. And I answer, and I seek Him, I'm going to find Him. And He's going to answer me. So in spite of how I feel, I'm going to make my way to my prayer closet, wherever that might be. Just that private place that you get alone with the Lord and say, God, I need you. So it says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. God breathed, and specifically for instruction in righteousness. Listen to this. That the man of God, that the man or the woman of God may be perfect. That means mature, growing. Not still on the spiritual milk. Being able to eat the meat. Throughly furnished unto all good works. That means you're completely equipped. Does God ever do anything halfway? Did God save you halfway, or did He save you all the way? He saved you the whole way. And so now He says, I want you to understand what it means to walk with me and to experience me, not just when you got saved, but every day. So very quickly, let's back up and let's look at the Lord's proclamation here in verse 1. Look at what the Lord is proclaiming. This is not my proclamation. This is the Lord's proclamation. Verse 1 of chapter 15 says this, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision. Don't you like that? The Lord, listen, why did you get saved? If you're here and you're saved, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Did you do that on your own, or did the Lord come to you and maybe use a human instrument, but through the Word of God showed you you needed to be saved? Aren't you glad the Lord came to you? I'm amazed that He would take the time to come and show me my great need of His salvation. After these things, the Word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Now, what I want to stop in is to take note of very quickly, just in chapter 14, we're not going to go there. Lot and the kings of Sodom get taken, and Abraham goes out there with 318 fellas, and they pursued them unto Dan, and they recovered everything. That's amazing. 318. God made sure that Abraham was never going to say, boy, oh boy, I had a big army. All right? He had nothing to do with it. To enable him to do what he did, and yet he praised the Lord, and the king of Sodom tried to give him something. He said, nope, I'm not taking a thing from you, lest you say you're the one that has blessed me and made me rich. So with all that great victory, the Lord comes. Listen, from our faith grows from victory unto victory. That's where the Lord wants to bring us. And so now the Lord sees what Abraham's doing. And by the way, I know his name's Abram at this point, but I'll call him Abraham. And Melchizedek was there, and he gave tithes and all these wonderful things. He was moving by faith. And so the Lord is approaching him because he is approaching the Lord by faith. And he says to him, the Lord does, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You're going to find everything that you need in me. Now, Abraham now is perplexed. Because he knew that God knew that there was a problem, there was a deficiency in his life. If he was going to be the father of many nations, he had a problem. He had no children. Amen? He had no children. And it was getting pretty close to the end of his days where he would not be able to have children. He himself, all right, Sarah's already past that, but he himself is going to come to that age also. So verse 2, and Abraham said, Lord God, see, he's calling on God, isn't he? I've got a problem. Something's, you're not making any sense to me. He says this, Lord God, what will thou give me? In other words, you've missed it. If you could give me all these rewards, but if I don't have an offspring, we've missed it, haven't we? And so he says, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? In other words, in order for there to be a seed or a posterity, you've got to have a child. And so that made absolutely no sense to Abram, and that was fair to say. But question, did God know what he was going to do? Did he ever have a doubt? Can we say that before Abraham was ever born, God knew what he was going to do with Abraham? Did he not? So question, before you and I were ever born, do you think he knew us? Do you think he knew our insufficiency concerning spiritual things? Praise God, and he says, I've got the answer. If you'll just seek me, I'll show you the way. Didn't Jesus say, I'm the way? Follow me, that where I am, you may be also. I think he wants us where he's at. So he says, I've got a problem, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Now listen, I don't think there was anything negative. He wasn't downing Eliezer. He just said, he's not my son, right? He didn't come from my loins. He's not my seed. And Abram said, behold, to me, thou hast given no seed. Remember what the Lord said? The Lord said to him, hey, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. And in Abraham's mind, he's saying, it doesn't matter what you give me. My problem is I have no seed. It doesn't matter what you give me. And by the way, listen, this was something that he could not do for himself. Question, is there something God has promised you and I that we cannot do for ourselves? Be ye holy and separate from the world. I can't do that in my strength. I need the Lord to do that. In fact, he tells us many times when we put on the whole armor of God that we're to do it in the power of his power and of his strength and of his might, not our own. Is that true? So question. Why are we trying to do it in our strength? And why are we getting frustrated? And why have we given up on doing anything for God as far as living a holy life? It's because we misunderstand him. And we don't realize that he's waiting for us to do something. The same thing Peter did. Lord, they'll all forsake you. He was so sure of himself. Do you think Peter believed that? He did. Man, oh man, I will never let the Lord down. And the Lord says three times tonight, Do you remember what he said to that woman while he was warming? I don't know him. Man, if you said, oh man, I've got a friend. If one of my friends that I grew up with and I was bragging on them and telling about them, and then I brought my family to meet them and they said, I don't know who you are. Do you think I'd be a little bit hurt? A little bit embarrassed? What do you think happened to the Lord that night? And that's why Peter went out and wept bitterly. What was God doing? He was getting Peter to come to the end of himself. Yeah. And here's the thing. If you're not trying to do anything for the Lord, here's the problem. You've not come to the end of yourself. If you're frustrated and you've given up, it's because you don't understand the Lord. And you've given up. How do I know that? Because I've done it myself. And in case you wondered, I am capable of doing it again. I am capable of doing again. I don't want you to, listen, you and I are on the same side, and that is to love the Lord with all of our heart, all of our mind, and all of our soul. I'm not here to tell you I've got something you don't have. I'm here to just simply tell you what God has said he would do. Amen? And if you'll allow the Holy Spirit to take that in your life, because that's the only person we can do it for. I can't do it for you, and bless God, you can't do it for me. And you can't do it for anybody else. But God has given to you and I a talent, a treasure in our salvation. Be careful. Listen. Don't bury it. Because you have a holy and righteous God that is coming again and expecting for you and I to give an account of that he has entrusted to you and I concerning eternal life. And so here we have Abram at this point, and he's perplexed at this. Verse 3 again, and Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. In other words, I've got nobody else. He's going to inherit what I have. I'm going to leave it to him. That, listen, Abram had a plan. Abram had a plan. Who was he looking to? Was he looking to Isaac, who was not yet, who was the promised seed? Or was he looking to Eleazar? He was looking to Eleazar at this point, wasn't he? And what else? What, listen, as he's looking to Eleazar, he says, this is my heir. That tells me he had a plan. And his plan was to leave everything to Eleazar. Question, was that God's plan? So question, ready? Does God have a plan for your life and my life? Are we looking to that one, or have we come up with our own? Have we come? This is our own plan. I can never do that. I will never. I've tried. I've failed. I've tried. I've failed. I've tried. I've rededicated. I've recommitted. All that good stuff that I have done. Do you think God wants anything that we have done? Or do you think he wants to give us what he has done? Do you see the difference? All right. So watch this. And this covers your whole relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're saved, if you want to experience God's grace, and if you want to see the dividends roll in, God is going to give them to you. You are not going to manufacture them. You may try, but you'll never get it, and you'll never be happy with what you can come up with. So that was Abraham's plan. I don't have an heir. I'm childless, and Eleazar's my heir. And God says, you've missed it. That's not it. So we find the Lord's proclamation. We see Abram's perplexity. And by the way, it is good to be perplexed by the Lord as long as you seek God in that understanding. It's all right to not understand everything from God. Unless he gives us the understanding, we won't understand. The world has no clue about eternal life. The world cannot fathom the idea that there is a holy and righteous and living God that spoke everything into existence. The world doesn't know that. The world says, here's their brilliant idea. Oh, it just came of itself. It just, all by itself. It just exploded. It just, an explosion always creates order, right? Right? Wherever you see explosions, boy, you just find beautiful cities, right? Nagasaki, Hiroshima. Did you see the beautiful leftovers after that big explosion? Everything was so orderly. No, not at all. Not at all. It creates destruction. Only God. Only God is the author of order and of life. And so the world is confounded by those things. But listen, God's people don't have to be. God wants to, but by the way, listen, as we approach the Lord to understand those things, we are going to be perplexed because they don't make sense. Very quickly, the Lord's plainness of speech. Look at verse 4. And behold, I love this. Remember, Abram had a question. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him saying, do you know, listen, I'm preaching the word of God, but do you know that you are indwelt with the Holy Spirit? Is that true? If you're saved, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. If you've been born again, you're indwelt with the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit, because he's quickened your spirit, will commune with you and say, that is the truth. Amen. And that is the way. And that is where you will experience the victory. And that is where you will see the grace of God. And so Abram at this point was perplexed, right? He didn't have the answer. But look what the Lord does. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. Do you think that brought relief? That is the first time Abram understood from the mouth of God that what you thought was not the right plan. What you were dreading is not going to take place. Aren't you glad? So, listen, he's not your heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Isn't that good? So God said, I'm going to do something through you. And he would say, but Lord, how? Right? He still has some questions. Here it is, ready? God says, I have given to you my righteousness through salvation. Can you believe that? Huh? Do you believe that? You have eternal life. Do you believe that? Eternal life, that means it never ends. Isn't that good? Now, how can you explain that to somebody who's lost? You can't. But how do we understand it? We couldn't either. We didn't understand it either until God brought us to that place. In fact, I'll remind you, when somebody approached me, I did the little sinner's prayer at 21. 24, I was approached again, and here was my response to things of God. I'm not interested. I don't need religion. But I was missing the relationship, wasn't I? And God opened up my eyes and my heart and my understanding to see my great need of him. And my sinner's prayer, ready? Save me, Jesus. Did that work? Absolutely. God doesn't complicate things. All right, so verse 5, and he brought him forth. Listen to this. He said, out of thine own bowels shall come forth your heir, right? Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad. Now watch this. If that wasn't enough, he showed him Isaac right there, and he said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, God, so shall thy seed be. Wow. Can you imagine on a dark, dark, moonlit night? Have you ever been somewhere where there were no city lights and you looked up and you saw a gazillion stars? Gazillion, gazillion stars. And God said, so shall thy seed. Can you number them? No. Do you know God's grace? God's design and desire for his grace in your life is just like that. Do you know that you are the seed of Abraham if you're in Christ? What a blessing. And the last thought here. He gives them the plain speech, and then he shows them the importance of engaging God for ourselves. Look at verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Did you see that? God is saying, how did you get here, Abraham? How did you get here? You didn't bring yourself here. You didn't even know the way. I brought you here. And if I brought you here, I'm going to fulfill the promise. If God gave you eternal life, that's just the beginning. He says, all the holiness and all the righteousness that I've put in the promises of God, I will give that to you also. So verse 7 again, listen to this. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Are you a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ if you're a saved child of God? Do you know how many of the promises that God has in the New Testament on this side of eternity he intends for you to take possession of? Can you tell me? Half of them? All of them. And if we don't have possession of all of them, is the problem with God or with our understanding? It's our understanding. And so, listen, that is the key that God, listen to me carefully, that God has given to you and me. I need the key too. I am flesh and blood, and I will fall flat on my face without knowing the key or the answers that God has for us. Last verse. Verse 8. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? How will I know this? And then he said, do you see the question? Listen, God just gave him a promise, did he not? He says, out of your own loins will come forth your heir. Then he says this, ready? Come on out and look up. That's half of our problems. We're looking down all the time. Look up. Look to where God is at. And can you see and count all of those stars? And of course, the answer was no. If you can, that's how many offspring you're going to have. And so now he's liking that promise. How about this promise? Ready? Because of my resurrection, you've been given the same life as Christ. And all of the promises are yours. Don't you like that? But question, don't answer this one. Are you walking in that? Let me give you the answer. No, not always. Sometimes, not as much as I would like to. Good answers. But what are you going to do with that? Lord, it's what he wants. It's what God is. God, listen, does God know we're limited? So where shall we go to the answers? Oh, not the news? They're not going to give me not the internet? Not the smartest men of this world? They can't give me what God, understanding of what God is saying? And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Now, the Lord's going to explain it. We'll consider that tonight, maybe. But listen to the question. And he said, Abram, Lord God, whereby shall I guess, wonder, or know that I shall inherit it? That'd be a good question for you and I to ask the Lord. How do I know to walk in what you've promised and to experience your power and your strength and your might. Where? In my life. Isn't that what he's asked? Has he asked us not to walk in our strength, but in his? Has he not said he's given to us his power, not ours? And so this morning, God's promise is, listen to this, not just for you, but for your seed. When God made the promise, was it just going to end with Isaac, or was he going to bless Isaac's seed? Isaac's seed. Does that mean we are Isaac's seed? Abraham's seed? Isaac's seed? Does that mean that your children are still the continuation of that? Amen. So might it be God's plan? It is God's plan. There's only one thing holding you and I back from it. Ready? Unbelief. No trusting in God. And not allowing him to give us the promises. Here's what we want to do. God, just save them. Give them the promise. We're failing. We're failing, God. We're not long-suffering. We're not kind. We're not gentle in all things. Let me rephrase that. We don't have the spirit or the fruit of the Holy Spirit. His kindness, his gentleness, his long-suffering, not ours. Ours we can, go so far and bite our tongue. If you're biting your tongue, that is not the peace of God. The peace of God comes when it's effortless. You don't produce it. And so if we'll seek God in that for ourselves, see, we've got the whole thing wrong. Let's just make everything look right on the outside. Get somebody to say a sinner's prayer. Hogwash. God is saying, I need my people that are called by my name to seek me. Until that, everything else, you're excusing yourself from the promises of God. We'll just shuffle it off over here. And this way, I don't have to worry about me. Well, that's not the way the Lord works. Guess who the Lord works with? Us. And if that's not right, everything else won't be right. And what you'll find is, you'll find a lot of people that call themselves churches getting growth, but not doing a whole lot of change. You heard about the Asbury Revival that's been going on out there? I think that's a fake. They're allowing things that are taking place in there that God calls an abomination. Is that really the work of the Lord? If we're not careful, we can become just as bamboozled. Maybe not to, to such a detriment of things that God calls an abomination, but we allow and excuse ourselves until we say, God, I'm wanting you to do business with me. Lord, I'm wanting to see Jesus. Amen? Because that's what the world needs to see, not us. Lord, I want to see Jesus. I want to see the power of the Holy Spirit in my life. And let God lead us in that. Lord, you show me the way. Otherwise, we come up with all kinds of great ideas. We might look at that tonight. Did Sarah and Abram come up with a great idea? And they produced Ishmael. And that was not God's plan. So God says, so shall thy seed be. That's God's promise. And you and I are part of that. And he is wanting to empower that in you and me. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to understand your will and your plan for our lives. That it has everything to do with you and us seeking you in that and yielding and believing and trusting and placing our faith in you. Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, it all begins there. That's all your work, your righteousness, Lord, that is imparted to us. And then, Lord, the continuing work that you want to do in the lives of your children. And it's all for the asking. And, Lord, may we not walk in fear or in the devil's lie that will never happen. He would have us believe that we might not approach you by faith or by trusting and believing in what you've promised. May we seek you, Lord, with all of our heart, mind, and soul to fulfill what you've called us to, your will in our lives. Bless the invitation. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.